This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
I hope you know this, that my desire here at Church Alive is to see you strengthened, to see you grow in the Lord, to see you live an overcoming life. You've probably heard that come out of my mouth a lot here at Church Alive. And today's a little bit of an unusual topic, but we're going to see that it's something that the Word really spotlights for us, and so we need to talk about it today. It's going to bring growth in your life, I believe. If you've been believing for a breakthrough in your life, but you've not seen it come through, it could be that what we talk about today has been what's been preventing that breakthrough from coming in your life. I truly believe that God wants us all to become men and women of honor. Amen? And I think we want to be those kind of people. I think we want to be people who are known to have character, people who are known to do the right thing, people who are known to live the right way, to be followers of the Lord, to be influential, and even be admired. But if we want to be men and women of honor, listen to me, we have to be men and women who honor. Yes. We're going to talk a little bit about honor today, amen? Men and women who honor. Today my teaching is called Fighting Familiarity. You may say, Gene, what does that word mean? Well, let's talk about what familiarity means. Whenever we're around something, whenever we see something, whenever we hear something on a regular basis, it becomes the norm and we get familiar with it. Does that make sense? Whenever we're around it on a regular basis. The truth is that we can even grow familiar with our relationship with God as well. Let's just get real for a minute. How many services have you ever sat through and you begin to yawn just a little bit because you think, well, I've already heard this before. You think to yourself, how many different ways can people teach David and Goliath? Or have you ever heard a praise report about what God did in somebody's life and you just think to yourself, that's nice? Or have you ever gotten to the place of whenever you pray that all of a sudden we just kind of mindlessly fall back to repeat the same phrases over and over and we're just muttering words rather than realizing that we are literally talking directly to the King of Kings? Has anybody ever been there before? It's okay to get real because I have. Maybe this week, right? I've been there before. But we can also get a little too familiar with the people that God's put in our lives as well. Our parents, church leadership, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers that He's brought to our life. Now, I want you to hear me just for a second. If you say that this is your church body, if you feel that God has brought you to this church, then I want you to understand that God has positioned people around you who are to be a blessing in your life. Amen. He has brought people here to surround you who will make you stronger. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, there are people here that are here to bless you. They're meant to bless you. And we're talking about everybody from you know, our elders to our ministry leaders, whether it's kids or youth or any other family ministry throughout the church. Life group leaders as well, right? Because they pastor small groups of churches here in the church, your pastoral team as well. These are people that God has to be a blessing in your life. And so He's brought you here and they're here to help equip you. And we'll talk about that in just a little while. But it's very easy that we get to the place of just seeing them as very common, almost like it's just a first name basis. Like, you know, for instance, Elder Funches, we could just say, well, that's Charles there. No. He's been placed in this house to be a blessing to every one of us, right? And often we see these people that God has put in our lives as just very common rather than the blessing that they're supposed to be. And I think this is very common for believers, but a lot of times maybe we're just not aware of it. The Bible shows us that familiarity existed even in Jesus' home with His own family. Let's look at this just for a second in John 7, starting in verse 1. It says, after this, Jesus traveled around Galilee. He wanted to stay out of Judea where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death. Okay, where was he trying to stay out of? Judea, right? But soon it was time for the Jewish festival of shelters, and Jesus' brother said to him, leave here and go to Judea, where your followers can see your miracles. Okay, are we getting this right here? Jesus knew that he needed to stay out of Judea. His family knew he needed to stay out of Judea. Why? Because they were plotting his death. But his smart aleck brothers said, that's where you need to go. Because everybody wants to see all your miracles, Jesus. I mean, that's ultimately what was happening here. Look at the next verse, verse 4. You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers didn't believe in him. Is that crazy to anybody else but me? I mean, this is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. They knew him. Of course, they probably weren't crazy about him because he was the perfect child. He was obviously mom's favorite. Obviously. I mean, did she ever even have to correct him? No, because he was sinless, right? He would actually do what she asked him to do. Come on, somebody's believing for that in their life right now, that their children are actually going to do. I'm believing for it. Come on, touch and agree, babe. But you know, they grew up with Jesus, and they lived with him probably for 20-plus years, probably sharing a bedroom. But they didn't see him as the Messiah, they just saw him as their brother. And there was that familiarity issue there. Even after seeing miracles, even after seeing water turn to wine, they just saw him as their brother and not the one who was ultimately the Son of God. Now, whenever we talk about familiarity, we're talking about not having a value for what God has given us, right? Whenever we talk about familiarity, we're talking about seeing something as common, seeing someone as common or ordinary or normal. Or whenever we're talking about familiarity today, we're talking about there being a lack of honor or there being a lack of respect as well. Now, I want us to go to Luke 4 just for a minute. In just a moment, Pastor Nolan's going to come up and help me with this, but I want us to look at some scripture that talks about this. And in all honesty, whenever I read this scripture, it always troubles me. I think it's very sad, ultimately, what happened here in Luke 4. So we're going to start in verse 16 today, and you're familiar probably with this story, but let's look at Luke 4, verse 16, speaking of Jesus. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So just real quick, Jesus goes ultimately to Nazareth and he goes to the synagogue. It was very common for young men to stand up and read at that time. And so Jesus then gets the book of Isaiah. It's what ultimately was handed to him. Verse 18, and he begins to read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It says this in verse 20, then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all those who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, somebody say today.
Today.
Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Verse 22, so all bore witness to him and they marveled at the gracious words proceeded out of his mouth. Now, we've got to talk about the background Just for a minute. You got to understand that whenever Jesus stood up to read, at that point there was a spiritual drought that had been going on for 400 years. For 400 years. They had not received a word from God, literally, in 400 years. They had read what the prophets had written in the Old Testament hundreds of years before, but they had not heard directly from God. They had not heard from a messenger of God in 400 years. And so what happens is he begins to read, and the atmosphere ultimately changes. The atmosphere ultimately changes. And this was the first for them, because I want us to think about this just for a minute. For 10 generations, they had been going through the same motions day after day, but had never heard from God. Their entire lives, same routine. But then that day, these men, they're listening to this scripture that Jesus is reading. And just so you know, they knew the scripture inside and out. They knew that God was going to be sending the Messiah at some point. And so they know these scriptures, but Jesus stands up at that point and he begins to read from Isaiah, and the atmosphere quickly begins to change for the good. All of a sudden, the way that they normally felt didn't feel that way anymore. Understand that Isaiah 61 is a messianic prophecy. In other words, it was speaking of the Messiah to come. Verse 22 said, "So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." Within about a minute, within about 2 minutes, all of a sudden they realize that there's something different that's taken place, and they're absolutely in awe of what they're hearing, and they're absolutely in awe of what they're seeing at that moment. Remember that these people had been waiting on the one to come. They had read about him. Because they knew the Torah, they knew the book of the prophets, they knew that he was coming at some point. They knew what Isaiah spoke about him. And they were waiting for this moment to come. And you can imagine that some of the older ones, in their 70s, 80s, 90s, older ones who knew who absolutely knew the scripture, they're thinking on the inside as he's reading this, they're thinking, it's him. We're seeing it with our own eyes. It's him. It says they bore witness. They marveled at the words that came out of his mouth. Remember, these are people, again, that had been waiting a lifetime for him. And it says that they marvel at his grace-filled, gracious words. Whenever we look at grace there, it's the empowering presence of God. It's what literally stirs you up. And as he's talking to them, for the first time, they begin to feel something on the inside of them. They begin to feel empowered, probably like the gentleman on the road to Emmaus when their hearts burned whenever they heard the words of Jesus spoken. So I want us to read this again. So Jesus stands up, verse 18, and he reads this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And once again, it tells us that they all marveled, that they bore witness, that the atmosphere had changed indeed at that point. But then something happens into verse 22, and ultimately it's tragic. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son. And just like that, it's over. Just like that, it's over with. They had been exposed to the eternal, but in a moment, it was reduced to the familiar. Because all of a sudden, he wasn't the one that they were waiting on. He was merely Joseph's kid. Are you getting anything out of this today? He wasn't the one they were waiting on. He was just merely Joseph's kid. What was ultimately a holy moment, whenever they were about to meet the Messiah, was ruined whenever they started saying, you know what? It's only Joseph's son. It's only him. They had marveled, but familiarity ultimately brought them, listen to me, to their senses. Remember, I talked about the older ones, that they were probably thinking to themselves, we're about to meet him. This is the one we've been waiting on. As soon as somebody said, isn't that Joseph's kid? You know what took place in their minds? They thought to themselves, oh, what was I thinking? For a minute there, I thought he was the one. No, that's just Joseph's kid. There's no way he could be the one. There's no way that he could be special at all. Tragic, is it not? So we see that the atmosphere started to change. And then Jesus responded with this in verse 24. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Certainly, there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Verse 27, and many in Israel had leprosy in the time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian. Jesus said there's no honor for a prophet in his own home country. The lack of honor, though, whenever we look at what Jesus responded with right here, the lack of honor, the familiarity issue, wasn't just a New Testament issue. It was also an Old Testament issue as well, because Jesus gives them two examples of this. He gives them two examples of this. Looking at verse 25, Elijah had an anointing, and the Lord longed to provide for his people in Israel during that time. But among the Lord's own covenant people, there was no honor for the prophet Elijah. There was no honor. And so as a result, there were no miracles that took place with God's own covenant people because of the lack of honor. So ultimately, the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, their provider, that's God's name for our provider, he sent Elijah to a widow and to her son in another country. Y'all remember the story about the lady and her son, and they had run out of food, and they were literally making their last meal before they were going to die. That's what she said, right? The Lord sends Elijah to that lady, and then all of a sudden, Jehovah Jireh does a miracle in her life. That's in 1 Kings 17, in case you're wondering. But Jesus reveals why it was to another nation, because of the lack of honor for a prophet of God. And then next in verse 27, and by the way, this goes back to the story in 2 Kings 5 with Elisha, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, wanted to do a work. There were tons of lepers in Israel, but ultimately familiarity kept it from happening. A lot of times the prophets would come to Jerusalem and the people didn't want to hear from them. They didn't want to hear the words from God that God had for them. And so ultimately the Lord sent Elisha to an army leader of, listen to me, an enemy country to do a work. By the way, Elisha was old Mr. Double Portion, as we like to call him, because he served Elijah and he got double what was on Elijah's life. And so God sent him to literally an army leader of an enemy country to do a miracle in his life. Why? Because of the lack of honor for the men of God in Israel. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Pretty interesting. So Jesus educates them on why these stories happened the way that they did that we read in 1 and 2 Kings. While Elijah and Elisha were present, there was financial provision available. There was healing available, but the people did not receive it because of familiarity, because of a lack of honor to God's people, to his messengers. So getting back to Luke 4, I want us to think about this. In verse 28, it says, "So all those in the synagogue, whenever they heard these things," and this is after Jesus educates them on this, "they were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, Jesus went his way." They went from ultimately having a move of God, from having a church service, to trying to kill the Son of God. Isn't it interesting how the atmosphere changed so quickly once again? And familiarity was the root of their unbelief. It's something that we all have to be aware of. It's something that we all have to fight against as believers in the Lord. Now, maybe you've heard the statement, familiarity breeds contempt. Has anybody ever heard that before? I've heard it in church for years, but let's talk about that just for a minute. Again, the more you get to know someone or something up close and personal, the more you begin to notice their flaws, the more you begin to even get a little annoyed by them or even a little disappointed by them. Let's just get real for a minute. Does anybody remember their first date with the person that you thought was Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, right? You know, you went home and told your parents, they're perfect. They're perfect. And the first couple of dates, I mean, it was just like, couldn't have gone any better. But then after the first couple of dates, you start noticing little things that drive you nuts, like the way that they chew gum. Like little phrases that they say that start to get on your nerves because they say it on a regular basis. Or maybe it's just like, is that the only t-shirt they own? Why do they wear that shirt every time I go to see them? Right? Little things you start to pick up on, and then all of a sudden, you're just annoyed by Mr. and Mrs. Wright. Has anybody ever been there before? That's what we're talking about with familiarity. You just knew that they were perfect, but ultimately the shine has worn off and you're a little disappointed that they're not perfect indeed, because they've got these little things about them, and again, they're not God, they're not perfect. So here's a few facts about familiarity that we need to remember today. Number one is this, is that it hinders the power of God from operating in our lives. Familiarity hinders the power of God from operating in our lives. It and dishonor literally stop the anointing. It's as if God is just your friend and he's not God Almighty. I want you to understand something. Whenever we address God, we need to always remember, is he our friend? Yes. But is he the creator of the universe? Yes. Is he the one that loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus? Yes. Do we treat him with honor? Yes. Whenever we speak to him, he is God. Come on, somebody. He's God. And our view of him can often be similar to how he was viewed in Nazareth. You know, they just saw Jesus as the son of a carpenter. They just saw him as the kid down the street, as Mary's son. And look at the result of familiarity in Mark 6, verse 5. It says, "Now he," Jesus, "could do no mighty works there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them." This is Jesus. And he couldn't do any mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Jesus was actually amazed with their unbelief. So familiarity hinders the power of God from operating in our lives. Number two, we can't receive from anointed men and women or spiritual leaders once they are seen as common. I want you to understand this. God delivers special treasure to all of us through human vessels. Through human vessels. But if we don't watch it, familiarity will actually make those vessels just seem as common. And what we'll do is we'll close ourselves off from what God is trying to give us through them. The lack of honor can actually put up a barrier to where we can't receive what God has intended for them to pour into our lives. It creates that barrier of their anointing on our lives. So again, you're not able to receive that blessing that God intended to bring into your life. And of course, if you just see them as common, then you honestly, many times, will not be able to receive correction either. And I want you to understand something. It's very important that everyone in this room, including myself, can receive correction. You want to know why people often are correcting you? Because they see you headed down the wrong road, and they know what could take place, and so they're trying to prevent you from going down that road, get you back on track. But too many times, Christians, they just can't hear it. They just can't hear it. And a lot of times the attitude is, how dare them call me out like that? But God has specifically brought them into your life to help keep you on track. But what you did was say, I'm not going to listen to that person that God brought in my life, that treasure, that vessel that he brought into your life. It happens. Ephesians 4 says this, and I'm in the Passion Translation here. It says, and he has appointed some with the grace to be apostles, some with the grace to be prophets, and some with the grace to be evangelists, and some with the grace to be pastors, and some with the grace to be teachers. Verse 12, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers, that's all of us, to do their own work. Somebody say, my own work. My own work. To do their own works of the ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Again, right there in verse 12, it says that they've brought these people. He's given us these people. By the way, this is referred to as the gifts of Jesus or the fivefold ministry, in case you ever hear those terms. It comes from Ephesians 4:11. But he's brought these people into your life to build you up so that you can walk in your calling and build the body of Christ. Amen. Now, you may say, well, I'm not around necessarily apostles a whole lot or prophets, but you're around teachers all the time if you're part of Church Alive. My spiritual father is a guy by the name of Pastor Keith Hodges out of Arab, Alabama. If you were here for the Dream Team banquet or the Sunday after, you got to meet him. I love that man. I honor that man. He's just a good old normal guy from Arab, Alabama. You drive through Arab, you're like, I think I'm back in McGee. I mean, it's just like McGee. But here's what I know about Pastor Keith. God has brought him into my life, and there's a lot that I can receive from that man. You see, he's been doing this pastoring thing a lot longer than me. He's walked through a lot of things that I've not walked through, amen? And so he's got a lot of insight for me, and I allow him to speak into my life. And I absolutely love Pastor Keith, and he's Pastor Keith to me. I would never call him by his first name. I've never, ever called him by his first name. He is a man that is truly a treasure in my life, and I love him so much. But here's the thing. At any point, whenever I start to see Pastor Keith as common, as normal, then I realize that I'm going to put up a barrier between him and me and the anointing that's in his life. In the same way that Elisha received from Elijah, I want to be able to receive from what's in Keith Hodges' life. Amen? From Pastor Keith. Because God has blessed him. God has gifted him. And so we need to make sure that we don't let that familiarity issue prevent us from receiving from the people that God has put in our life. The more we get to know him, we normally find fault in them. The more we get to know them, the more we just think, well, they're just like everybody else. And sometimes in churches, people will sometimes feel like their assignment or their calling at the moment is to question authority, to criticize decisions. And the truth is that those folks, of course, are definitely the ones who are uncorrectable. Just as a heads up, whenever we talk about the uncorrectable thing, we all need to be correctable, because whenever you go to Matthew 18, the word actually talks about how you deal with believers who won't receive correction, right? And so it's the heart of God that we're able to receive, and that we can get our life back on track the way it needs to be whenever spiritual authority comes into our life and speaks into our life. But this attitude of, you know, always questioning, this attitude of criticizing, it drains the life out of a body of believers. Amen? It just happens. And it leads to strife or division. How many of you are excited about what God's doing at Church Alive? I want you to know, amen. I want you to know our leadership is constantly on the lookout to make sure that we're protecting the unity here at this church. Because whenever something pops up, we squash it instantly. We deal with it. Why? For the health of the body, amen? Because, you know, if churches let this stuff get out of hand, you can split a church just like that. And God's doing too much here. We've seen too many people saved here. We've been seeing too many people get set free here, too many marriages restored here. And I don't know about you, but I want to protect what he's doing here. Come on, somebody. I want to protect what he's doing here. And while I'm on the subject, of this second point right here. Parents, don't ever speak negatively about church leadership in front of your kids. Amen. You need to listen to me just for a minute. If for some reason, this is just an example, if for some reason you had a disagreement with our youth leaders, you airing it out in front of your kids is a stupid thing to do. You want to know why? Because all of a sudden, your kids, next time they hear that youth leader, is going to think, well, they're goobers. They don't even know what they're doing. And then all of a sudden, you think they're going to be listening to the teaching that's happening on Wednesday nights whenever they've heard mom mouthing off about the youth leaders? They're not going to receive a thing from them. Same for kids leaders. So if you have a disagreement, go to them like a mature spiritual adult, right? And if we need to get involved with leadership and elders and stuff, we can. Don't air it out in front of your kids. Don't do it. Don't do it in front of other church members as well either. Don't do it. People need to be able to receive from those that God has put in this house to teach. Come on now. Sorry, that's a little soapbox I got going on there. If we don't watch it though, I mean, how many of y'all have ever had somebody just air it out about somebody? And then all of a sudden, every time you see that person that they aired it out about, you think about what that person said. Anybody ever been there before? You see, that's what can happen in a church. That's what can happen in a church. But by us tearing down leadership, others will completely miss out on the giftings that, again, God wanted to bless them with. Honor gives us access to realms of breakthrough that gifted people, and by the way, we're all gifted, have to contribute to our lives. Now, truth is, we're sitting here on the second point just for a minute. The truth is that God's brought people into your life that are meant to be a blessing. And right now, it's possible that because of familiarity that you're not able to receive from them what God intended for you to get them. That could be happening currently in your life. The truth is that he's brought people here to impart wisdom to you, to disciple you, to model what it means to be a man or a woman of God. But due to familiarity, you're not receiving those benefits. We'll often discount these people as being too old. We'll often discount them as being too young. We'll often discount them because we'll say, well, you know, I knew them before they ever really got serious about the Lord. Right? And so all of a sudden, we're thinking to ourselves, well, there's no way that God could use them to speak into my life because I got it all figured out. We've never thought that, have we? Don't miss what he's trying to bless you with because of a lack of honor or because of familiarity in your life. Don't look at those people that he's brought in your life and have that, oh, that's just Joseph's son attitude, okay? Number three, the root of familiarity is pride. Comes back to pride. Pride causes us to exalt ourselves by not acknowledging the mantle on others and only recognizing their natural humanity. So we don't recognize the mantle, the anointing on them. We just recognize the fact that they're just people who are flawed. And aren't we all? People who are flawed. In the case of a ministry leader, a lot of times those flaws, they're magnified. You know, their preferences, they're scrutinized, and then all of a sudden what's being taught is just merely opinion rather than the Word of God. Amen. And at that point, if that's what's happening in your life, you're kind of wasting time even coming to church if you can't receive, if that's the place that you're at. The people reduced Jesus just to being the son of a carpenter. And as a result, there was no power for Jesus, literally the Christ, to be fulfilled in their lives. And this question wasn't a question of was Jesus anointed, because we know that he was. It was that they couldn't see it because they were looking through the eyes of familiarity. That's what was taking place. Now, let's turn this just for a minute. Let's talk about it being Father's Day. Young people, listen to me just for a minute. God has brought your parents into your life to be a blessing to you. Amen. Now, you may say, Gene, I know my parents' flaws. Yeah, they know yours too, yep. Right? Amen. We're all flawed. Every one of us. I don't have it all together. I get extremely frustrated on the road. Can somebody just get free and just say amen to that? Or am I the only one? We all have our little things that maybe set us off at times. But young people, I want you to know your parents do love you very much and understand that God's given them to you for a purpose. And again, they're not perfect and you're not perfect, but don't discount the effect that they have or that they can make on your life. Amen? And don't discount it just because they've made mistakes or just because you're like, you know, I know the real dad and he's just a real goofball. I'll say this about the media and TV shows. Have y'all noticed that every TV show has the dad looking like a complete idiot? Seriously, think about it. In most of the shows, the dad's a complete goofball and mom runs everything. And don't get me wrong, I understand that Regina helps keep our house together, amen? But it's us working together, right? And we need to be men who are, again, leading our homes, protecting our homes, providing for our homes. But young people, I want you to know God has brought them into your life to be a blessing. And you may say, Gene, they're not saved. You continue to pray for them. Don't you ever quit praying for them, amen? But as being your parents, we are to honor them. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor. Somebody say honor.
Honor.
Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now, this is referring to Exodus 20, verse 12, of course. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well with you, and you'll have a long life on earth. You'll have a long life on earth. Again, they mess up like you. Listen to them and honor them. Because I do want you to know this. Sometimes you may feel like young people that your parents are against, you know, they know what's best for you. It seems like right now my children get no 80% of the time, if not 90, right? Why? Because Regina and I know what's best for them. And a lot of times what they want to do is not best for them. Because if it was up to my daughter, she would eat Crunch Berries 3 meals a day. But it's not what's best for her. Somebody say amen. Even though Cap'n Crunch with Crunch Berries is pretty legit. Got to be honest with you. Pretty good. But they know what's best for you. They're not your enemy. They're not your enemy. They want what's best for you. But I want to get back to my opening statement just for a moment. If you've been believing for a breakthrough in your life, but you've not seen it come, I want to ask you this. Could it possibly go back to a lack of honor? Lack of honor for the Lord? Because let's think about 1 and 2 Kings, what Jesus told them. Miracles did not happen. Miracles of provision, miracles of healing did not take place because of a lack of honor for the Lord, but also for his messengers as well. Could that be what it is in your life? And I think we need to just honestly have a good conversation with ourselves and just get real with ourselves and ask, is that an issue in my life? And I want us to remember, God loves us so much. He is a friend. He sticks close to us like a brother. But again, he is God. Amen? He's God, and we should always treat him with honor, the way we talk to him, the way we refer to him. He's God and he loves us so much. I want you to remember today that God's brought people into your life to be a blessing. Honor them so you can receive from them. In the same way that Elisha received from Elijah, that double portion, honor them. And don't let familiarity cost you what God intended for you. Again, it gives us access to realms of breakthrough that those gifted people have to contribute in our lives. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to Church Alive's teaching of the week with Pastor Gene Amason. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 10 o'clock, or learn more at churchalive.net.